All right, so welcome. This is Jiva Ang, voice of Gaia, and I'm Lucy from Infinity Resonance. We've got together today and we're filming this because Jiva Ang asked this beautiful question, which is, what is soul? Your inimical, straight to the point, straight to the highest truth, simplicity. And it was such a straight, simple question. I just thought, well, the answer isn't quick. It's not a straightforward. It's not going to come from the mind. We're actually going to have to dive into the answer and experience the answer. And we've been doing that just before we've gone live. So we didn't share that bit with you because it's mostly made up of silences. But before we kind of go into discussion around it, what for you moves around this question, Jiva Ang? Do you want to say a bit about you and this and now and here?
I'm interested to that I've been challenged in some ways, in that I've been talking with people whose perception of soul is completely different from mine. And that's really what threw up the question. And that kind of was like, okay, so what is soul? And my sense has always been that soul is who I am. This is really who I am. I was talking with people whose perspective is very out there, very broad, very multidimensional. And who were saying that the soul is a collective, that it's not a single person, it's a collective of people. And that was kind of like, I don't quite know where to go with this. Mm. So I do what I always do when I don't know where to go with something on this kind of thing, is I come to you. So
likewise. Between us.
There's a sense that we between us can come to an understanding and truth that is resonant on a broader field, for at least for us. I don't know how that applies to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that too. Thank you. What comes is, I find kind of, because I want to go into that, and I get when you say that, the collective, it's like they're talking about oversoul, something I recognize as being pointed to as oversoul. And although I have a lot of curiosity around that, it's like I can't start by going there. I need to start by what's come through while we were sitting with that question, what is soul, and what moved before we kind of went live. I've always had the sense of there being a dance between soul and spirit. Like these are the, for me, the, you could say the masculine and the feminine, or the yin and yang principle within the I am that I am, within the whole of who I am and the truth of who I am. And yes, I see the truth of who I am. I see that as having dimensions that downstep from vastness all the way through to this one individuation. And through those dimensions, as they upstep, if you like, to that vastness, there's, hello, spirit. Would you like to join in? Come on, let me include you. Wow. there is more than one individuation. As I go up through the dimensions, I have the sense there's more than one individuation, more than one Lucy who's not really Lucy. And that depending on what dimension of the self I am focusing in and feeling into, that the individuations, which always feels like the point, where the vastness of the I am that I am, the individuation within all that is, comes to a point. And where it comes to a point of focus, like light focusing from a lens, that point is an individuation. And the vast lens, which I always see as like a cell of consciousness, the I am that I am, an individuation within the totality of all that is, within this cell, that there are dimensions. Well, there are realms, and within those realms, there are dimensions. And within those dimensions, every dimension, this lens, this cell, isn't focusing itself outwards into the nothingness or into the all that is. It's focusing itself inwards so that within itself, there are multiple points of individuations that can exist at every dimension within every realm. But here I am, just one focal point of the light from the lens of the I am that I am. Now I see this kind of, if you see that kind of focal points coming inwards. And but I don't think of that as an oversoul, because I use the word soul specifically to delineate that dance between in every individuation. Every point, every focal point, it's like there is where that I am that I am comes to a focus. It's almost like there's a quintessential zero point where that self is one with the whole self, which is one with all that is. It's in oneness. And that's what I associate with being the I am that I am, or the higher self. It would be the language I use for every individuation. And I think some people could call the whole, when they're talking about the oversoul, I always feel that's almost like, for the oversoul, for the individuation, the oversoul, you can get oversouls for collectives, but for an individuation, what that speaks to me of is the self that is the I am that I am at this dimension with all these different individuations within it, at this dimension with all these different individuations within it. But for me, I go into that individuation and there is, like I say, that quintessential zero point of the I who is in harmony with all that is for that individuation, the higher self. And within the higher self, I see that dance between soul and spirit, the masculine, the feminine, the yin and the yang. And I think that's where we came in on when we met today. And that was, well, you were helping me answer my question of, you know, why this now, what on earth? And the words that dropped in were, when spirit runs off ahead, soul gets left behind. And there's a sense that soul is the part that connects us to, it's like the feminine principle or the yin. It's the part of that higher self, or the I, not the higher self, but the I am that I am, sorry. Mm-hmm. No? Yeah, the I am that I am. For this individuation, it's the part that doesn't leave truth, that always stays connected to source, to oneness, to that little point of focus that's connected with the whole self and everything beyond it and all of everything that it's, that always is connected. And it's the, for me, I could call that the feminine principle, but that's not a gender thing. That's a metaphysics thing. No, that's at the end. Whereas spirit is more like the active principle, that when this individuation has an expression, you know, it goes into it, it has a life. It goes into a realm, into a living landscape to have a life and experience itself. whatever dimension it's focused in. And it's almost like spirit is a taking things forward energy, the energy that takes that soul forward into life to express, almost like an outgoing action, directional energy. So I would associate it with the masculine or the yang principle. Currently biting my posterior from underneath my chair. Here it is. Here's my version anyway. And yeah, we started this with one of the objects of one of the objectives of this human life that I feel myself, and I've heard reflected from teachers I resonate with a lot, is to remember soul. It's like soul is the part of me that's never lost. It never goes off and gets lost. It's always within me. It's and I might forget about it, but it's always there. And one of my objectives feels like calling the me who's gone off with spirit to have an adventure, left soul behind, and run into the experience of being, experiencing myself as separate, just running off ahead. And one of my objectives is to kind of still that part for long enough, not totally and not forever, but for long enough, just long enough to find the stillness and the silence that connects me back to the soul that's always there, that connects me to the I who is part of everything, who connects me to the multi-dimensions of myself and what's beyond, and the divinity of being, that the divinity of multidimensionality, in fact, the divinity of being. So both the complexity and the simplicity of the divinity I am. And to find it in the simplest way is to find that connection in the stillness and the silence. And then to find, look, he's sitting down all quiet now. And then to call to those parts of me that are just racing off with the spirit who's disconnected from soul, who's gone off into life to have an adventure and explore disconnectivity, which is very much about this human life for me, not all lives everywhere, but this here life for me. To call to that part that's racing off like the horses that have bolted from the gates, but to stay with that presence and that connectedness, and to look upon that part of me with the eyes of compassion that understands why it's in spirit's nature to do this, what the reason behind it was, the beautiful gifts that are going to be received as a result, but still to stay in stillness and call, invite the errant spirit, the one that's run off and leaving soul behind, go, hey, home is here. Would you like to come home? Would you, there's an invitation, not to chase it down and force it, not to go and, you know, round up those wild horses and drag them back, but to sit at home, open the door and call. And for that call, the spirit actually, we're racing ahead. There's something spirit is searching for in this lifetime, this active adventuring, go off and go further, faster, higher, better, bigger, more. There's something that part of me is trying to reach by doing that. And everything that part of me encounters as it races off, those moments of success and satisfaction, none of them are equal to the satisfaction it's trying, it's seeking for, and it's reaching outwards for. When that part of me turns to face inwards and allows itself to relax back into the seat and center and become one again with soul, when spirit is found, the spirit becomes found, it's like the spirit returns. The satisfaction that part of me receives is beyond anything external that could have been achieved by that outward reaching motion, that running away from home motion. And when, at the moment at which spirit lets go, like that separated spirit, not truth, spirit in its truth, but spirit that's run off into a separation state. The minute it lets go and relaxes into the center of me and finds, is found again. then true spirit is found. The spirit who is one with soul, where they dance, where you cannot, I can't separate them, one from the other. So it's almost like soul in spirit is a language used to explain what happens to the self when it's exploring itself in separation. And when they come home together, when they're found, and spirit is the truth of spirit, is the active principle that doesn't shoot off and leave soul behind. It's the active spirit that is active and dynamic and directional and seeking, but rooted in its center, home, and at one with soul, so that in that connected place, all of those actions, all of those I'm going to do this, are coming from the listening, being with that connectivity. They come from the silence, and the action is going to return to the silence. So what we're drawing is not a straight line that carries on forever. It's a petal. It's a flower petal. It goes out and comes home. It goes out. Yeah. It comes home. It goes out. It comes home. But when it's really in truth, it doesn't actually, its root remains rooted in connectivity with soul, and there's oneness. And I think at that point, a new word is needed.
Yeah. That brilliant. Makes me, there's something that comes to mind listening to you explain in that manner, is that it's like the journey that we've been on for forever in this lifetime, at least, is that of, in effect, bringing home all those spirit journeys we've been on, all those lifetimes, all those experiences where they haven't come home. And that we, having done enough of that, we've brought enough of us in, that now it's like, now look at where you're still doing that, that you're still putting it. And therefore, it's like, you don't need to do it that way. It's not a single line anymore. It is a return. There is always a return, and that you, in effect, don't leave the seat. And yet, you are still in the journey. You are still in the movement, but you are not leaving the seat. So thank you. That's kind of like, oh, that puts a massive piece together of understanding of, oh, okay, this is that overview of life, if you like, of, oh, this is what we've actually been doing, is this, into a really simple language of, okay, we've been reclaiming all that spirit has experienced and bringing it home to soul. And that's, that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. When we were doing this just at the beginning, before we, you know, before we logged on here, there was this sense of, like, I saw, thanks to you, I saw the area of myself where I hadn't been resting in soul. You know, this area where I identified it by names, like, oh, and how I'm consuming and how I'm working and how I am with bureaucracy. Those areas, those three key areas that are very much connected to within a dimension. I haven't wanted to go. I haven't done this. I haven't sat, been present with those parts of myself and opened the gateway home. And as I did with you, and we sat there, what was incredible was I saw, it was like a dimension shift. It was like a key had gone into a lock and the dimension shifted. I was like seeing this, all I could describe it as a dimension of reality. And it was shifting from this to this. It was a paradigm shift, turning around. It's like the key had gone into the lock. And as I did this, I was in a very, very deep space of peace, and I could feel the resonance of that infusing my body, my field, my reality, bringing me and bringing those parts of me into that deep peace. And from that foundation of feeling that deep peace, I could feel these little notes that appeared as maybe thoughts or distractions, like there were little notes in me that were like, I don't want to be in this moment. I don't want to be present here now. I want to try and get away. I should be somewhere other than this here moment here now. And it's like as though I was the ocean feeling those little notes trying to get away. And from that place, looking at those little parts getting away, there was just compassion and understanding, and the sense of, but of course you would be doing that. This is in your nature to do that.
Yeah.
And a sense of love. So reaching out to those parts as the ocean, as soul, but with love and compassion, with no judgment, with actual joy to see them be as they are. And yet by being in that place, I became the invitation for them. By bringing the light of my attention to those parts of me, they could turn, they naturally of their own, just by being sighted from that place, seen by me from that place, mm-hmm. they were, yeah, thank you. So it's about, for me, that being the invitation, so soul is being the invitation for spirit to come home. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot in that of letting go of judging, blaming. And life always gives us, like you say, at the beginning, when you were helping me work out why is my life doing this right now, is life gives us reflections always. So when mm-hmm. we can't see how the nature of our own spirit is behaving right now, what parts there are ready to be called home. Something will come and demonstrate it to us. Like a running play that we get to watch on a screen, that's our life happening. So we can see from what's going on in our life around us, those internal parts, those the parts of spirit internally that need to be called home, that are kind of causing us dissonance, causing us to kind of pull our hair out and wonder why, and oh my gosh, and why is this happening, and I don't want this. It's like, well, there's something that wants to be called home that doesn't yet have what it needs in order to be able to do that. So often what's needed is exactly that. It's like, okay, I can find my way home to soul. Here, soul and spirit are at a distance from each other. I can find my way home to soul in this area of my now human experience. I can listen to that part of me that's, I'm not coming home and I'm not happy and I don't want to be here and don't make me do that. I'm not ready. And you know, that's basically having an argument. and listen to it. It's almost like soul is the ultimate soul, while soul and spirit are separate. Soul is almost like the ultimate parent. She's the mother.
Yeah.
Like, yes, dear, I hear you. No, you are not allowed to do that. Like, she has strong boundaries. You know, no kidding, you're not allowed to eat the live cable. And you're not allowed to do that. But I understand why you would want to. So it's compassionate understanding. And then it's, what are your gifts? What have you learned? And maybe that's samsara, maybe that's pain. Well, it hurt, Ma. It really hurt. Okay, well, tell me. Tell me why it hurts. Tell me how it hurts. What happened to you? Oh, really? Okay, what else? It's like the compassionate listening part of us that's just, okay, and what else? And what else? Okay. Yeah. I just have to introduce at this point. My companion. Yeah, that's what comes for me. But I'd be so curious what comes for you on that, and also Yeah.
Everything brings us information. The world around us is constantly bringing information to us. And it's really, we just got to learn how to read it, how to know what it's telling us. And that's where, this is where we often need to communicate with each other, because as you say, we can't necessarily see it, because it's like, but why is it not? Well, then someone else looks at you from another direction and says, well, it's this. And you go, oh, yeah. <It's> like, so this is why we're, you know, it's so, to me, it's why it's important that we communicate with each other. So yesterday I was, I found myself doing a mad piece of gardening. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I suddenly attacking the border, the boundary, the wall, the fence? Why am I suddenly cleaning it up? Why am I suddenly doing this? And it's like, because that's what I'm doing internally. That's what I'm doing internally. I'm sorting out my boundaries. I'm cleaning them up. I'm refining them. So I had found myself doing something physically in the world, which was as a direct result of what I was doing energetically. And that's what it was showing me. So it's a completely round the other way. I wasn't aware that that's what I was doing energetically, but until I was questioning why I was doing something physically, and that I was doing those two processes together, basically. So that's the kind of. But yeah, and how other people constantly bring us stuff as well. So it's not just our actions; it's how a conversation will highlight. You know, think, well, okay, what is there? And my question so often now is, when I have that kind of like reaction to someone when they've said something or done something, my question straight away is where is that within me? So again, being really it's really, really helpful. And to recognize that is so much of those are so many of the gifts that people bring us, rather than feeling that we're in odds with somebody is that okay, there's something happening here that I need to see. It's all part of that, really. But thank you for really pointing out that this is the difference between soul and spirit, that this is, so those are the things that the spirit has experienced, has done, and is trying to, and that's the soul wants to come home, what is calling home, basically. So that they're no longer separate. Wow, that is amazing, isn't it, what we're doing? Absolutely amazing.
Feels limitless sometimes. Feels infinite. Like,
yeah.
Got the complexity, the vast complexity of the human experience, and what every facet of this human experience has been founded in that separation that's found its way through every single aspect of us. So it seems, it's not quite, but it seems that way sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, it's all got to come home? It almost feels overwhelming. And it's kind of like, well, like you say, I think no, because there's a tipping point. There's a point where the recognition of soul and then spirit that's called home to soul, and that union that comes from that alchemy of oneness. I mean, that's when spirit and soul become one, that's when I cease to name them separately. And it's kind of like, this is the I am that I am. And this is why I say the I am that I am isn't God out there somewhere. It's all the way into any and every facet of my human experience.
Yes.
Or every dimension, every... There's nowhere in the multidimensionality of being where my I am is not.
Wow.
There are only areas where I haven't yet called that separation home into unity within myself. But even in all those areas, the soul is waiting. The gateway is there. can be found, that gateway home can be found. And what I experience from soul is a resonance. And the resonance that then calls spirit home to soul, that then, you know, welcomes the I am that I am into whatever area of myself, my human self, my human expression. That resonance is, yeah, I don't think I can really point to that with words even. I don't, should say amplified, exponentially amplified. And I think that exponential amplification of the resonance that then infuses all of me, because one small part of me has been called home into that unity. That's what makes it the process easier and easier and kinder and more and more and more and more graceful. So that it's not like repeating the hard work nth million billionth time in every tiny facet of our lives. The more we do it, the more we gather that kind of exponential amplification of I amness.
Mm. Mm.
And the easier it is, and the quicker and the more efficient it becomes when we hit areas of our lives where that's not happening, for me to go, that really doesn't feel like this. That's really not. And I know there's a way home, and I know what the way home feels like, even though it feels different in every, you know, it has, top notes are always different. The heart of feeling at home within oneness, not with a mouth, is always, has something that's a unifying principle. Hello, you. Yeah, can we eat that, not me? Thank you. There you go. Really should have just made the video about him. It would have been a demonstration in itself. He could have just filmed you. It would have been better. There you go.
Different.
Yeah. Well, what does come is that there's a lot of qualities of spirit, which, like now, I've got a playful kitten. He wants to eat everything. He's got sharp teeth. They're really exciting. He wants to try out his new sharp teeth on everything. And it's kind of like, well, no, I don't want him to destroy the sofa cover, my face, my top, the furniture, the other people, guests, you know. It's like, but I have to find ways of allowing him to be as he is that don't make him feel bad about the fact that he wants to bite everything, like that don't make him blame himself for that. And it's, because that's not bad, it's beautiful, it's part of who he is, it's part of his nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those parts of us that are spirit that will fire an arrow off into the distance and run after it, those are beautiful. They're vital to us thriving in the world. They're vital to our creativity. And soul, having the ability to express in form, in life, the nature, it's almost like the nature of who we are is contained in our soul. The song of who we are, the quality of who we are. And it's all spirit takes that, spirit, when it's aligned, has a job of taking that into the world and giving it a shape, bringing form, giving it a direction, a form where it can express itself in action, in movement, definition.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you're dealing with boundaries and borders at the moment, because those are part of our definition. They're not just about what we need to defend. They're part of what shape am I?
Yeah.
What I express. And so those spirit qualities that could lead us into separation, they can be maligned, they can be judged, they can be blamed, they can be castrated, they can be squashed. And then we have to kind of, then it's even harder because we have to reinvite those home, having really lost them.
Yeah.
We've got to find them again.
Yeah.
We only find them again by resting in soul. And they will appear, they will emerge. Healed spirit emerges when we rest in soul. That's kind of what happens. But,
oh, that's it. Oh, sweetheart.
Hmm. Sorry, stages of kitten interruption. And very distracting. Or very to the point, I don't know which. But yeah, those qualities of excitement and going forth and running and charging and being all those qualities that we so often blame ourselves for or judge or try and temper or
yeah.
It's almost like in my culture we were taught to control them. To suppress them and to control them. And mm-hmm. actually to really when we're controlling something, it can't return to us in full balance. It's almost like we have to allow ourselves to touch on its true nature, whatever shape that is, even if that's distorted. And something we try to control will be distorted. If we've suppressed it or pushed it down, then our excitement will turn into depression and despair. Our joy will turn into anger. Those yang qualities in us will be subverted. And we become afraid of them. And it becomes very a fearful thing to want to meet the shape of wounded spirit in us, of separated spirit in us. It becomes very, we don't want to. And it can become fearful. But yet again, if we're meeting them from that place of soul, then it becomes a connectivity that we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear the fear. We don't have to fear the anger because we're held in that loving resonance which embraces all of it and within which it will dissolve. It'll let go of its constrict. It won't dissolve, but its distortions will dissolve. So in that field of harmonic resonance, that resonance of being resting in soul, resting in connectivity, the distortions in spirit dissolve. Anger is allowed to return as joy. Fear is allowed to return as, what is fear? As love. Despair is allowed to heal and reappear as excitement. Or anxiety, I think, is very much when anxiety reappears as excitement. I think despair possibly reappears as fulfillment. It's a sense I have. I'm not spotlighting that at the moment. But in that harmonic, in the field of harmonic resonance of soul, those distortions dissolve and the truth of our natures, the yang aspect, that masculine, that spirit aspect, they emerge. And we don't have to create them. Even though they're lost to us, we don't have to create them or make them happen. They're there. As soon as the distortions are dissolved, they reappear and we can be shown. What's the flavor of excitement, my excitement? What's the nature of my joy? What's the nature of my satisfaction? And we can learn to trust those things in us again, trust desire. Trust what moves us. So that's, I have a lot to do around excitement for that, of learning to trust excitement again. I was taught very much as a child, you know, if whenever I got excited, things might break. So don't be excited. And I found it really hard to create ever since, because without excitement, I can't follow, you know, I'll get so far with the creation and then it will never get any further. Because that excitement is a vital part. So healed excitement is a vital part of me just carrying, following through.
Yeah.
On my actions.
Yeah.
And I always see that alchemy of creativity in us, that all of consciousness is renewing like a breath in every moment. And in that breath can be found the alchemy of creativity. How the forces in us renew and realign in a dance in every moment. And I like looking at that through the flow of consciousness as an energy through our centers, for example. Like this is the energetic breath in us that moves through the alchemical, the sacred centers in an alchemy. But if I look at how that moves in terms of not what each of the centers represent, or what we call the chakras, But the flow of the yin and yang aspects of energy through those creative chakras, there's a dance, there's an alchemical tantric dance of creation happening in every moment outside space and time and in space and time in us through our centers. And when our, and it's like almost like they talk about the chakras as wheels, because it's like this force is moving and the wheels are kind of moving it upwards, moving it upwards, moving it upwards, moving it upwards. And there's this, you see this pattern, this figure of eight pattern, the dance of the masculine and the feminine, the yin and the yang. And at every center, it's slightly different qualities that move both of those forces upwards. Right. So when they're in unity, at the root center, it'll be one thing. At the sacral, it'll be another. And the masculine and the feminine both have something different that they take in each center that moves them up, that moves to the next, to the next, to the next. It propels that or those forces through it. So those forces are always moving through us. And it's not that they won't move. It's just whether, for me, it's important whether are they moving in unity or are they moving in combustion, in impact, you know, having to fly away from each other and then be attracted back, but then impact each other on contact and then repel each other and come back again. So is there a unity dynamic or a conflict dynamic in that breath of life as it flows through us, through our sacred centers? So that's a kind of uber simplification of sort of the creative tantric alchemy or the breath of life in us. But how our relationship between soul and spirit in every area of our life affects our experience when we are creating, getting out of bed. The decision to get out of bed is a creation. Making a cup of tea, that's a creation. You know, going to work, what we're doing in our job, that's all of everything could be seen as a creative act. Being part of life can be seen as a creative action, every tiny facet of that. So, yeah, I don't see any quick fix to the human solution. More
choice. That would be boring.
Would it? I don't know. I've kind of got to this point and gone, done. Can we? No, I'm not done, am I? Not even close. You know, it is. But I've made a choice to live my life with this awareness, to look into this, to ask, like you asked, you know, what is soul? What is spirit?
Yeah.
What is the I am that I am? And how can I align this human I with that quintessential I who knows itself as one within the all of everything? Mm. Thank you for letting me ramble. That's definitely concludes my little synopsis on what is soul from this perspective.
Thank you. It's always instructive to let you ramble. Always. One of the things you know about me is that I tend to set things up so that on the energy level, so that things will shift if I need them, you know, when they get the right trigger or whatever. And so listening to you talk is really helpful, because there are just so many pieces that where a bit of me goes, oh, right, shift. Oh, yeah. Oh, that goes. Oh, that goes. You know, and it's like that's just happening automatically while I'm listening to you. And it's great. Thank you. That's kind of like how I like it. So, yeah.
I love that you work that way. I love that we work that way. And I'm sure this is a point of talking and having conversations with anyone, anywhere, ever.
Yes, I agree.
The Shah calls that a telepathic field, and I love that description, because it's given a name to something I've always just seen, and I usually have to wave my hands around to try and describe. But that field where two of us get together, because we're in a connected space, the point of focus we're each holding is shared. And yet at multidimensionals, we're kind of in an overlapping, well, there's a synergy of our focus, which allows more to come in and be seen around it. but the communication between us is effortless because we're aligned to, well, we both have a similar alignment, which is I'm here to, I've dedicated myself to align with my higher self. Or in your case, you might refer yours is to align with the highest truth. And we both have a little bit of what the other has. So we overlap and we're aligned. And it means that what I receive from you is always in alignment with my dedications, which have now been, you know, many, 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 many years. So that I'm attuned with those dedications. I don't need to sit and make a whole prayer of invocations every time we sit down. It's part of my field. And so a lot of that just happens effortlessly and seamlessly. So
more for that.
Yeah, you're gifted in simplifying things and becoming doing things in the simplest, most efficient way possible, going straight to truth in the most direct, simple, efficient way possible. And, you know, all my years of working with you, and I wish I was even more like that. Because it's just so refreshing. It's such a relief. Always.
Well, it gives space for life. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? That just came out. It gives space for life. It's like, okay, so I want to live life. I want to, you know, you've heard me say this many times, can I just get on with my life now, please? But when I say that, I mean living life from the whole of me, from all of me, from the truth of me. So it's interesting what we've ranged over today, because I can see that, okay, so this is actually what I'm asking is to live my life from this center with spirit in union, so that I'm not charging off to have this experience and then not knowing what the hell to do with it or whatever, or not completing it or not doing, you know, all those things that we've done. So it's a whole, thank you. It's like, oh, that's what I'm doing. That's what I asked for. There is that wonderful phrase, be careful what you ask for.
Oh yeah,
it's like, ah, that's what I mean when I say that. So thank you.
Thank you. You know, there's a way, there's another question which I don't have an answer to, and we might have to sit with this again, which is an extension of the what is soul. But I've heard, for example, I've heard Bashar talk about the oversoul of humanity. So we were looking at I was looking at the individuation of those points of focus. And what it might be fun to do a follow-up to this, where we sit and do what we've done today, which is tune in beforehand and then open to discussion, see what comes through on what is the oversoul of, for example, humanity. What does that mean? How does that work? And how does that relate to this model, if you like, for the soul and spirit and the self?
Yeah, how does that all connect up?
How does it connect? Yeah, that one.
Okay, looks like we might have another one on the... few steps down the future.
This is nice for this. Me, this really touches, this really appeals to my excitement, because it's kind of like, oh, the mystery. Let's ask, let's see what comes through. I don't know. I'd love to find out.
So, isn't it? It's allowing the mystery. Oh, how many times have they been saying that to us recently? Allow the mystery.
I've really got to as well. Because we're just heading into the, I don't know, it's never been like this before.
Yeah, exactly.
We're creating the new, the now, and the future from the mystery, from the it has never been before.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you for keying me into that excitement. And I can feel it's like a little bit frightening, but way more, again, that loving resonance and that excitement that's held within that loving resonance. I can feel all of that. Mm-hmm. At the thought of going here next.
Wow. Thank you.
Look at you. Sleeping kitten now.
Lovely.
Going to be fully a part of proceedings. Yeah, I think I've invited a reflection of spirit down here in kitten form.
Oh, definitely.
Seems to be what I'm working with. G. Brian, thank you so, so much. And guys, thank you for listening. It's been beautiful exploring. And I think we're probably both wondering what comes up for you around this. Like what comes through for you when you ask this question, or what's come through for you while we've been sat here with this? Do type it in the comments. I would like to know very much. And it might go it might help shape where we go when we sit with this again next time.
Definitely.
All right then. Bye for now. Oh, I should say, shouldn't I? Good grief. Yes, I always forget this bit. Jivarang, how would you put yourself forward? That you are putting me totally on the spot. I would call you, I would say you're a channel.
Yeah.
Channel, energy worker. And yeah. Truth seer. Definitely truth speaker.
Yeah.
Are you available for one-to-ones at the moment? Are you doing that?
Apparently, yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, yeah, okay.
Apparently.
So if you, having sat with Jivaran, if you feel like you would benefit from her direct truth speaking, incredible channeling ability, which we haven't gone into today, but trust me, she does. And find her, or we find you on Jiva and Voice of, it's voiceofgaia.life is your website, isn't it? So voiceofgaia.life is you.
Yeah.
And likewise, I work with the Blueprint Akash session, so helping us align with the truth of who we are and center and call ourselves home, call home our patterns and habits and templates. Rewrite our templates from that space of being connected, centered, grounded, and aligned, and resonating with the truth of who we are. So yeah, you could just call that alignment energy work, really. With messages from the guides. So if you would like to work with me, then come find me on infinityresonance.com. Yeah, all right, let's do this again next time.
Okay. Until then. Thank you.
Till then. Okay.